Morning, everyone. Welcome to everyone. Father, we continue to pray for our loved ones, those who are far from you, Lord. Lord, would you touch them? Would you speak to them, Lord? May they hear you. May they respond to your gracious offer of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'm going to, over the next three Sundays, I'll be looking a bit deeper at the Hebrews 2 passage. Last year, we did Hebrews 2, the 18 verses, and I think we need to look at it a little deeper. And so our text this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll just look at the first four verses. But in terms of introducing it, I want to say a life can drift. Now, those people can drift away from God. A life can drift without falling apart. Because very often we look at people and it's only when their lives literally fall apart that we think they're away from God or that they've drifted away. I'm also reminded of my mom at this time. She's late now. One day she had a carer, and then one day she insisted the carer stole a ring. She insisted that ring is gone, and someone took it, and the only person that would take it would be the carer. And I told her, it's probably not the carer. We should just look, where did she put the ring? And we spoke about that. Eventually we found the ring. It was not the carer. But she in her mind was convinced, and she didn't want that carer, that lady, anywhere near her. You see, most things that are lost are not stolen. Very often it's just neglected. If we think in terms of our own lives and the lives of people around us, another illustration would be a marriage doesn't end because of one argument, but really because conversation has stopped. And most times a body doesn't become unhealthy overnight, but through small habits repeated over time. And faith is really abandoned suddenly, but slowly, quietly, almost politely, we drift away. You see, you don't wake up one morning and say, I no longer believe in Jesus. You wake up tired, busy, distracted, and without noticing, you have drifted. And so as we stand at the beginning of a new year with hopes, maybe some fears, uncertainty, and fatigue, I want to remind you that God speaks to us not with condemnation, but with care. And so this sermon is not meant to scare you. It's really meant to steady you. I also want to say that the purpose of the sermon is to help us to understand why paying attention to Jesus is essential. What makes his salvation so great? And how God lovingly holds us so that we do not drift away. We do not drift. Let's look at our text. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. We must pay attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. And so my first point, the point I want to make, is that the Christian life is often not lost initially through rebellion, but simply through neglect. We see the writer here does not accuse the church of rejecting Christ, but he warns them of something quieter or insidious, so that we do not drift away. You see, drifting is passive. It really happens when effort stops. A boat tied to nothing will drift, even in calm water. This tells us something important. Faith does not disappear because God lets go. In other words, because God lets go of us, but because attention fades. Our attention, it fades. And when we look around, we see that many people are not hostile to faith. Very often they start or they're just exhausted by life. Economic pressure, unresolved grief or trauma, broken trust in systems, and one crisis after the other. And then faith becomes one more thing that we do not have energy for. And when we read Hebrews, we see that it acknowledges this reality. It acknowledges it without shame and then calls us back. And so the first point is a warning against neglect. But the second point is that paying attention is not about effort. Paying attention is about relationship. When he says we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard. And maybe this is a good point to be very clear about something. You see, this warning is not about or not turning Christianity into a religion. Religion says try harder, do better. In other words, pay attention or else. See, the Christian faith is something entirely different. Religion is humanity's attempt to climb up to God through rules, rituals, and fear of failure. Christianity is at the opposite end. It's where God speaks first. And so if you look at religions, you will find that if you look at all the world religions and systems of faith, you will see that generally there's an initiation, an entrance into that religion. And then there's some training, some teaching. And at the end of that, then you have to practice. And at the end of that, there's an assessment, an evaluation. And after you pass the evaluation, you enter into heaven or nirvana or whatever it is that is promised. And if you look at religions, that is exactly what it offers. An entrance, some point of entry, either being born into it, accepting something, believing something, and then training, practicing it, keeping it, and then you are evaluated, judgment. And then you are allowed into heaven or whatever is being offered. But Christianity is not a religion in that sense. You see, because if you look at university or school, well, maybe schools are different, but you know, you have to enter, into university, there's some criteria. And once you've entered, you are taught the same way that priests, ministers, rabbis, imams would teach. And then you have to take a test. You evaluate it. Now, it doesn't matter how good your lecturers are or your minister is, you will sit for that test. And based on your performance, you will either pass or not pass. But Christianity is not like that. Because at the very beginning, you commit to a person. At the very beginning, you are accepted before any performance. You see, before we were listening, God was already speaking. And before we were seeking, God had already come near. And so paying attention is not earning God's approval. Instead, paying attention is responding to a relationship that is already offered. In fact, this is the very reason that Hebrews does not say obey more carefully. It says pay attention to what you have heard. And so Christian faith is not built on effort. Instead, it is sustained by listening. And drifting does not happen because people stop trying hard enough. It happens because other voices, replaces his voice. Hear me when I say Christianity is not a religion in that sense. That you will know at the end whether you're accepted or not. No, right at the beginning, you are offered salvation. So paying attention is not about effort, but about relationship. And so the third point I want to make is, what do we mean when we read there? What do we understand by so great a salvation? It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The greatness of salvation is the reason neglect is so dangerous. And so we need to, I suppose, clearly understand what the Bible means by salvation. Because unfortunately, many people misunderstand it. And so John Lennox, some of you may have heard of him, he's a mathematician and a Christian apologist. He tells a story that helps expose that misunderstanding. He says, years ago, I met a girl called Sally, fell in love with her, and decided to propose to her. Imagine, he says, that instead of proposing, he approached her with a gift-wrapped parcel. And when she opened it, she found a popular cookbook. She thanked him politely, and he said something like this. Sally, this book is full of rules and instructions for excellent cooking. I want you to follow these instructions carefully and cook for me to a very high standard for the next 40 years. Sally, if you do this well enough, then I will consider accepting you as my wife. If not, you can go back home to your mother. Lennox says, of course, that is not how he proposed. Such a proposal would be absurd. It would be deeply insulting. It would turn the relationship into a performance. And then he makes a point. He says, that is precisely how many people think about God. They believe they must pile up merit, follow enough rules, perform well enough for long enough, and then perhaps God will accept them. But that, my friends, is not salvation. It's not Christian salvation. Christianity does not begin with rules. It begins with relationship. God does not say, perform for me, and I'll think about accepting you. He says, I have loved you first. And so salvation is not God wanting to see how well you do. Salvation is God committing himself to you before you can perform at all. And that is why Hebrews says the salvation is great. Because it's not based on our track record. Because it's based on God's grace. And so how is this wonderful salvation, this great salvation, how is it received? How does the salvation become ours? The Bible speaks of two responses. Note, I say responses. Not achievements, but responses. Firstly, there's repentance. Repentance means letting go of the cookbook proposal. Let it go. It is the moment we stop trying to impress God and admit that we cannot earn his acceptance. Repentance says, I cannot save myself. It then goes on and says, I stop negotiating. I turn away from self-reliance. And this is not self-hatred. It's honesty. It's repentance. And then there's faith. Two responses. Repentance and faith. Faith is trusting the one who proposes. The one who asks you to enter into this relationship. Faith says, I receive what you offer. I accept your proposal. I trust your love, not my performance. So repentance turns us away from earning. Faith is the empty hand that receives the gift. And so why is neglect so dangerous? Hopefully the warning is starting to become clearer to us. You see, neglect is not refusing a set of rules. Neglect is refusing a relationship offered in love. That's what neglect is. It is treating grace as if it's optional. And so Hebrews speaks to us gently but firmly. How can we afford to drift away from a salvation like that? This great salvation that is announced firstly by the Lord Himself. He comes and He makes the proposal Himself. You see, Jesus did not send the message, He came. God didn't shout the instructions from heaven. Instead, He steps into human history. And so Christianity is not about, it's not advice about how to reach God. Christianity is the news that God has reached us. We see firstly that the Lord announced it Himself, but also that it's been confirmed by witnesses. The message didn't disappear with Christ's death. Those who heard Him testified concerning it, testified to what they saw. And so faith is not built on imagination. It rests on evidence and the testimony of others. Faith is also, it was validated, the salvation was validated by God's power. Signs, wonders, works of the Holy Spirit. It's all God saying, this is real. And so salvation is not just about forgiveness. Salvation is also about a new life, new direction, new belonging. And when we neglect this, it's not a small thing. It's really tragic. And so the efforts to reach people, as Mervyn led us in the intercessory prayer this morning, it's important. When John was talking, I was reminded of Murray's words. You know, when they started the Stellenbosch Kweekschool, the seminary, the ministers there were called dominees, or still called dominees. Lords. And those trained here across the road from us at the Missions Institute, Descending Institute, were called donkeys. They would take the word of God into Africa. That's what they were called. That region there where the bush was known as Donkey Bush. To neglect the salvation is not small, it's tragic. And then my fourth point is that drifting does not mean that God has failed. It means that we need anchoring. When we find ourselves drifting, some hear this warning and think that maybe my faith is weak. Maybe God is disappointed. In fact, Hebrews says the opposite. The warning exists because God cares. And although a boat can drift even on calm water, an anchor is not for calm water. It's for movement. When the waves are tossing, God knows that life moves us. But paying attention is about remaining anchored to Jesus. Note, not to church habits, but to the living Lord. And so if at any point you feel that we want to, or I want to sort of get you to be a better Presbyterian or a church goer. Forget that. Pay attention to the living Lord. Experience His presence in our midst. Experience Him when you pray. My last and final point is that the call at the start of the year is not to do more. You see, I so much want you to do more. Really, I do. But the call here, and I believe the call from the Lord, is not for you to do more. Somebody pointing at me. It's not to do more, but to listen again. And so if it slips through and I start, if you feel I'm wanting to get you to do more, it's not about doing more. Start listening again. You see, God is not demanding perfection. He's inviting attention. He wants us to focus on Him, His presence, His person. And so it's not about louder religion. It's not about forced optimism, about constantly having a smile on your face. Talking about a simple posture, a simple attitude. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Let's just listen again. My friends, that is how I believe faith grows. It's how we get anchored. And it's how drifting stops. It's when we pay attention to Jesus, when we look to Jesus, and when we walk with Jesus. And hopefully we'll do that together. And so the most important truth today is this. You are not held. You are not kept by your consistency. I thank God for that, because of the majority of us would not pass. We'd not pass muster. We are not held by our consistency. And some of you are pretty consistent. But you are held by Christ. And He speaks. He's still speaking. So do not drift. And the encouragement not to drift is not because God is harsh, but because this salvation is too good to neglect. So Jesus, would you quiet the noise around us? Would you anchor us when we feel unsteady? Lord, would you teach us again to listen and to hold us as we walk into this new year? Lord, may we experience and know you, your presence in our lives. Amen.
We're going to sing our last song as we stand together. Have thine own way.
My being, absolute sway. living in me.
Just want to remind you that for the next 2 weeks we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 2. It's the first 18 verses. I dealt with the first four, and we'll continue for the next 2 weeks. Let's receive the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now, forevermore. Amen.